go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Hi, I'm Peter Doan.
And I'm Leslie Doan.
And you're listening to the radio broadcast, Go Rebuild My Church. Each week in this broadcast, we will explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, and how this theme is relevant as we seek to bring renewal to the church today.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 13 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church.
You can learn more about our journey home and our lay apostolate dedicated to renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our prayer is through the ministry of this radio program and our lay apostolate, we can provide pathways for you as individuals, your families, as well as your parishes to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal. Now, if you're joining us for the first time, welcome. And we're doing a series of broadcasts that identify the need for spiritual rebuilding and renewal in the seven churches found in the book of Revelation. These sacred scriptures have been so enlightening, Peter, and they're very encouraging, especially in these days in which we find ourselves. There's a lot that's relevant for us today.
Yes, I love these chapters in Revelation.
Through these broadcasts, we're hoping that we can show you how Jesus has been calling parishes to rebuild and renew all throughout history, even dating back to those first century churches and parishes.
That's right, Leslie. And as you said, in these broadcasts, we're pulling together also the sacred scripture, excerpts from the Catechism, the lives of the saints, and the teaching of the church as we seek to challenge individuals, families, local parishes to rebuild and renew the Catholic faith here in America. And last week, we introduced the sixth church in the book of Revelation, the church at Philadelphia. In each letter to these seven churches, we've been sharing the historical background of each specific city, along with a characteristic of Jesus Christ that he presents himself as in Revelation 1. Jesus gave almost every church those four C's that we've been talking about: a commendation, a criticism, a correction, as well as a crown for those who would become overcomers. And each week we mention that this is a great outline for church staffs when they come together to look at their local parishes. It's interesting how Jesus so many times ties his message to the churches with the history of that particular city, and we've given the history of these churches in Asia Minor and the cities.
Right. I've really enjoyed that part, Peter, hearing about the history of the cities.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to continue to see this as we study and make application for these last two churches that Jesus addresses.
And last week, we discovered that the church in Philadelphia was one of only two churches, the other being the church at Smyrna, that did not receive a call to repent. And they appeared to be doing things right, weren't they?
Yes, they were. Mm-hmm.
And we also discovered how this church has a lot to teach us today. Let's go back and review the message that Jesus gave to the church at Philadelphia from Revelation 3, verse 8. He said, "I know your works. Look, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." Peter, could you review for our listeners the significance of Jesus' message for us here today in the 21st century? I know you have some great insights to share with us.
All right. Well, Jesus, when he speaks to this church, Leslie, presents to us this concept of the open door that we see throughout the New Testament. In fact, the Apostle Paul uses this analogy about himself and his ministry many, many times.
I know. There's a lot of scriptures on the open door.
Right. So on his second missionary journey, St. Paul tried to go to the province of Asia to preach the gospel, but he was forbidden by the Holy Spirit. It was a shut door. Then he tried to go to Bithynia on the southern shore of the Black Sea, but was not allowed by the Lord to do that. Another shut door. You know, we experience that a lot ourselves too, don't we? We want to do something. We seek the will of God. We pray, but the door is shut. Well, that happened to St. Paul too. But then when he came to Troas, he had a vision of a man from Macedonia, and he learned that the Lord had opened up a door for him into Europe. And then Paul's commitment to enter the open door has changed the history of the whole Western world, affecting all of civilization for sure. It was an open door of tremendous significance, which the Lord had opened for Paul. And then going back, Leslie, lastly, in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul says that the door had been closed to him and was now opened by the Lord. He says of Ephesus, the capital of Asia, a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. So Paul eventually went through the doors that were shut that the Lord opened into Ephesus.
So a key takeaway for us as individuals, our families, and our parishes is to truly understand the reality that the Lord desires to give us open doors. Isn't that right?
Yes, and it's something even good to pray about. Lord, show me my open doors.
And last week, Peter, you shared about how our ministry, Rosaries for Africa, came through an open door. But also, I've experienced some open doors that have been more on a personal level for ministry.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I had a colleague who was battling cancer, had to go through surgery, chemotherapy, and in the midst of this crisis, I felt it was an open door for me to share with this individual who is not a Christian. And I sent this individual a get well card, a simple get well card, expressed the fact that I was praying for this person. But then I took another step through that open door and I shared my personal story of a faith crisis in my life and how Jesus had met me, heard my prayers, and brought healing and deliverance to our family. So
right.
That's a simple thing, just to be aware of those open doors in our relationships.
Yeah, exactly. So Jesus presents himself to the Church of Philadelphia as one who controls these doors, Leslie. He also shows us exactly what caused him to give them an open door in Philadelphia. In verse 8, we have to point out a very important note in the original Greek language, and we mentioned this last week. The words, "I know that you have a little power," that word power, for instance, is dunamis, but the word "I know" is not in the Greek text. What it literally says is, "because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name." The church is being given three reasons why the Lord opened a door for them. What the text actually says is, "I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut because, number one, you have a little power. Number two, you've kept my word. And number three, you have not denied my name."
As you mentioned last week, Peter, the word used in this text for power is the Greek word dunamis. And I think that's very important for our listeners to grab a hold of. We get the word dynamite from this word. Mm-hmm. And in scripture, it's used when Jesus told the disciples before he ascended into heaven, they would receive power from on high. They would receive dunamis. And I think that's just so important for us to know. So talk to us a little bit more, Peter, about what it means that the Philadelphia church had little power.
So as we shared last week, the catechism is very helpful to us because it points out that there are ordinary gifts and extraordinary gifts. In other words, there's a little power that the Holy Spirit pours out, and then there's also extraordinary power that he pours out. This church had ordinary power, but they were faithful to use it for God's glory, and he opened up a door.
That's a great insight, Peter. Okay, we have to take a short break now, and when we return, we'll look at how to recognize the open doors in our lives and how the power that's in the name of Jesus can actually open doors for us. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today, we're focusing on the sixth of the seven local churches or parishes in chapters 2 and 3, the church at Philadelphia. The church did not receive a condemnation or a criticism, as the other churches did, but rather a commendation and a powerful promise that Jesus would place an open door before them that no one could shut. Peter, talk to us a little bit about sacred scripture and where we are offered open doors in our lives and how we can recognize them.
So one of my favorite scriptures, Leslie, is connected to this whole idea of walking through open doors. And it's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It's an amazing verse. The Apostle Paul says and said, "We are his workmanship." And that word workmanship is the Greek word poema, from which we get the word poem. But also often it's translated, "We are his masterpiece." Think of yourself like that. That's a powerful perception that the Lord wants to give us of ourselves. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. This is why we've been made Catholic Christians, that we might do good works, Leslie. Deeds like help and mercy, kindness, witness, love, things like comfort, counsel, and strength. This is what every member of the church can do, both clergy, consecrated religious, and laity like ourselves. We are created unto good works, that scripture says. And then comes the exciting part. It says, St. Paul said, which God has prepared beforehand for us to walk in them. When we were confronted with a need, it may appear rather significant at first. Perhaps it's a neighbor with a heavy heart. Perhaps it's a family member or a colleague at work, like you mentioned, who is having problems. Or in our parish, there's a need not being met. When we respond to that, however, it becomes an open door. So ministry, then, can grow out of that which will challenge and encourage and bless us as we go on. Notice what the Lord says to this church in Philadelphia. "You have a little power." That realistically stresses the fact that most, if not all, all of us, churches hardly realize the potential that we have for these open doors and these good works that the Lord prepared beforehand. Yet a few of us enter into this. Many of us reside in single parishes. But if everyone would exercise the ministry that's been given to us to utilize the spiritual gifts, then we could turn the word again upside down. Remember, I've liked this before, St. John Paul said, "Be on the lookout."
Right. We all need to be praying for those open doors. We need to be on the lookout and be looking for what are those good works that we've been created that have been created for, that have been prepared for us to walk in them. So Jesus gave the Church of Philadelphia 3 commendations. He said they have a little power, have kept his word, and have not denied his name. What else can we learn from this message to the Church of Philadelphia that we can actually apply to our lives?
Well, first of all, we need to cultivate the charisms, that little power in the case of the Philadelphians, and we need to discover our gifts. You know, there's a great ministry that we've mentioned here before by Sherry Waddell that she has had over the decades, really, and it's called Called and Gifted. And many times it comes into dioceses and parishes where we can discover what our charisms are. So that's a good way to approach that first pillar, so to speak. Secondly, we need to become deep in Scripture, the Word of God, so that we can keep His Word. And third, what we really want to focus on today, Leslie, we're called not to deny His name. Now, what does that mean? Today, we want to really look at that and see that honoring the Lord's name is going to really open up doors for us as Catholic Christians.
Well, Peter, we know the church calls us to reverence the holy name of Jesus and that there's even a feast day on January 3rd, right?
Yes, there is.
And then also the whole month of January in the liturgical calendar is actually dedicated to the holy name of Jesus. So that fits right into what we're talking about today. Help us to understand a little bit better why Jesus was telling the church not to deny his name. What's the significance of that for us?
So we've We've talked about this before when we did our study in the Acts of the Apostles, that in those first chapters, you can really see the Holy Spirit pointing out to us that the name of Jesus was making powerful things happen.
Right, there's reverence power in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the bottom line.
Reverence for his holy name rose in apostolic times. St. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, wrote, "So that at Jesus, every knee must bend in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue proclaim to the glory of God, the Father, Jesus Christ is Lord." That's almost the quintessential scripture that points out the power and the reverence in the name of Jesus. Just as a name, Leslie, gives identity to that person and also reflects a person's life, the name of Jesus reminds the hearer of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Let's keep in mind that the name of Jesus also means Yahweh saves or Yahweh is salvation.
Right. So when we cry out the name of Jesus, we're crying out for his saving graces.
Yes. And invoking our Lord's name with reverential faith, one is turning to him and imploring his divine assistance.
Well, it's time for just another short break. And when we return, we'll discuss the four powerful results of speaking the name of Jesus in our daily walk. We're also going to see how our Catholic faith has exalted the name of Jesus over the centuries and why the name of Jesus should always be on our lips. So please stay with us, listeners.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
At Catholic Radio, we love to hear from you. Call us anytime. Just recently, we found this message on our voicemail.
I'm a non-Catholic that listens to your Catholic radio station, and I just wanted to thank you guys. I listen to Catholic Answers and Al Cresta sometimes, and I think her name's Teresa Tommy. I listen to her and another show or two. I appreciate it.
Call us at 317-870-8400 and let us know what you're thinking.
I just called to say, you know, I'm not a Catholic. I listen to your station.
You're listening to the radio program, Go Rebuild My Church, and today we're continuing our series in the book of Revelation by studying the seven churches in chapters 2 and 3 and making application to the renewal and rebuilding of the church today. In our last segment, we discussed how Jesus presents himself to the Church of Philadelphia as the one who controls the doors of our lives. We've learned that there are three ways we can open doors for ministry in our lives. Cultivate our charism, or the little power that God has given us, keep his word, and lastly, to not deny the name of Jesus. So now we're going to focus on that third part, not denying the name of Jesus. Peter, what are some practical ways we can embrace that and proclaim and honor his name in a fuller way?
You know, Leslie, as we're talking about this, I flashed on when I was a little boy in Catholic grade school. And I had sisters in every one of my classes, the Sisters of Mercy. And I can remember like yesterday when the sisters would teach us that when you say the name of Jesus, make a little bow of your head. And that really started me off in my early days, learning that the name of Jesus is something very special to a Catholic Christian. So first of all, as we speak about this, the name of Jesus brings help to our bodily, physical needs. Jesus promised at the ascension, in my name, you will cast out demons, you'll speak with new tongues, you'll pick up serpents, and if you drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt you. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So there Jesus is promising that in his name, there's power that's released that we've been talking about today. After Pentecost, St. Peter and St. John went to the temple to preach, and they encountered a cripple begging. And St. Peter said to him, "Remember, I have neither silver or gold, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of the Nazarene. Walk." And that cripple began to walk, Leslie. Invoking Jesus' name, St. Peter also cured Aeneas in Acts chapter 9. Leslie, I know you had an experience that we've talked about before of calling on the name of Jesus. Why don't you share that with our listeners?
Well, I'm sure our listeners have also times where they've just cried out for Jesus's help. But I was actually driving in my minivan when we were raising our children in Ohio. It was a snowy, icy day, and I was on a four-lane highway, and I hit the shoulder of the road, and my minivan spun out. And I went across all four lanes of this highway.
That's pretty serious.
Right, in a 360-degree turn. And all I could have time to do was say, Jesus, like that. I knew I needed his help. I was obviously preparing myself for a crash. And amazingly, miraculously, my minivan stopped in a parking lot filled with cars about a foot away from another car going the opposite direction. It just somehow miraculously stopped.
So you can certainly say that the name of Jesus brought help to bodily needs at that point, right?
I firmly believe that.
Okay. So secondly, the name of Jesus gives help in spiritual trials, Leslie. Jesus forgives sins. We know that. And through the invocation of his holy name, sins continue to be forgiven. Remember at Pentecost, St. Peter echoed the prophecy of Joel in his Pentecost sermon when he said, "Then shall everyone be saved who calls on the name of the Lord." Also in the Acts of the Apostles, I love it as St. Stephen, the first martyr, as he was being stoned, the scripture says he called upon the name of the Lord. This is what he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Thirdly, the name of Jesus protects the person against Satan and his temptations. We see Jesus throughout the Gospels on his own authority exorcising demons and through him releasing people from demonic powers. Through the invocation of his name, Satan can still be conquered. I love the ministry of Father Vince Lambert that we so often hear and listen to and honor him, Leslie, as an exorcist in our diocese, where he often says the name of Jesus makes demons flee. And then finally, and fourthly, we receive every grace and blessing through the holy name of Jesus. And this is what Jesus said, "I give you my assurance. Whatever you ask the Father, he will give you in my name." And he says, "Until now, you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that you may be made full." And then finally, to sum all this up, Leslie, St. Paul in a beautiful verse says, "Whatever you do, and whether in speech or in action, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus."
Well, also, Peter, I know there's a unique and rich history in our beloved Catholic Church that honors the name of Jesus, starting with the feast day. Could you give us just a little taste of that background? I know there's an awful lot in history about it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Our Catholic faith throughout its history has followed up what Jesus was encouraging in the Church of Philadelphia. Back in the 13 and 1400s, there was a St. Bernardine of Siena and his student, St. John of Capistrano, and they promoted a devotion, Leslie, to the holy name of Jesus. In their preaching missions throughout all of Italy, they carried a monogram of the holy name surrounded by rays. In fact, that monogram was picked up by the Jesuits as their symbol. In its origin, this monogram, IHS, is an abbreviation for the name of Jesus in Greek. I and H representing an iota and eta, respectively. And then the first two letters, which are the first two letters of his name, to which later was added S or sigma, the final letter. Interestingly enough, St. Bernardine and St. John blessed the faithful with this monogram, invoking the name of Jesus, and recorded many miracles were reported. They also encouraged people to take the monogram and place it over the city gates at that time, and even the doorways in their home.
Then later on, Pope Martin V approved the proper veneration of the holy name and asked that the cross be included in the monogram. And what happened after that, Peter?
Yeah, well, that monogram was also used in the battle against the Muslims, who were at that time ravaging Europe, but they were defeated at the Battle of Belgrade, and that monogram was used as a gathering point. And then one other thing, Leslie, I think that's really great. Pope Leo XIII is a pope we really love, and he did a lot of things to bring renewal and rebuilding to the church. He later endorsed for the whole church because he said, desirous of seeing an increase in the devotion towards his glorious name of Jesus among the faithful, especially in a period when this august name is shamelessly scoffed at.
Well, what could be more relevant than that for today when we hear the name of Jesus scoffed at all the time?
Yeah, exactly. And I want to point out one thing too, Leslie, that it's important, I think, for us to realize there's a difference between Jesus' name and his title. He's got lots of titles. The most important title he has is Christ, which means anointed one or Messiah. But as St. Paul tells us in the scripture, Philippians 2, his name is Jesus.
Okay, so some exciting things are happening coming to us from EWTN and the Coming Home Network. Talk to our listeners about how they can take action on the name of Jesus.
Well, yeah, I just got a email from EWTN, and the Coming Home Network that we're affiliated with is beginning a 15-day devotion starting today to the Holy Name of Jesus for Christian unity. So you can see that this focus on the name of Jesus continues to reverberate throughout our church. And I think that this is a great time for us to pray for all of us, Leslie, that the name of Jesus would just take just a higher place in our day-to-day thinking, our prayers, our actions, as we've been talking about today.
Okay, so Peter, would you pray for us?
Yes. Lord Jesus Christ, we love your name. We love to say it. We love to impart it. We love to speak it over our children and our grandchildren. And we ask, O Lord, that you would increase our love for your name, our boldness to proclaim your name, and our desire to teach others to reverence your name and to give you glory through that name. We pray this, O Lord, in that precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, thank you, Peter, for such a wonderful program today, and also all of our listeners for joining us as we seek to connect you as individuals, your families, and parishes to the rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic faith here in America. If you'd like to hear our past programs, we invite you to go to CatholicRadioIndy.org, where you can access all previous broadcasts through the podcast tab on the webpage. You can also download Catholic Radio Indy app from your app store and listen 24/7. And just if you have Alexa, say Alexa, enable Catholic Radio Indy. Well, make sure to become a regular listener, and goodbye for now, and
keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.